Academy Street by Mary Costello. Read by Melanie McHugh. It is evening and the window is open a little. There are voices in the hall, footsteps running up and down the stairs, then along the back corridor towards the kitchen. Now and then, Tess hears the crunch of gravel outside, the sound of a bell as a bicycle is laid against the wall. Earlier, a car drove up the avenue, into the yard, and horses and traps too, the horses whinnying as they were pulled up. She is sitting on the dining room floor in her good dress and shoes. The sun is streaming in through the tall windows, the light falling on the floor, the sofa, the marble hearth. She holds her face up to feel its warmth. For 2 days, people have been coming and going, and now there is something near. She wishes everyone would go home and let the house be quiet again. The summer is gone. Every day the leaves fall off the trees and blow down the avenue. She thinks of them blowing into the courtyard, past the coach house, under the stone arch. In the morning she had gone out to the orchard and stood inside the high wall. It was cold then. The pear tree stood alone. She walked under the apple trees. She picked up a rotten yellow apple and, when she smelled it, it reminded her of the apple room and the apples laid out on the newspapers on the floor, turning yellow. She lies back on the rug and looks up at the pictures on the wallpaper. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Her mother told her the story. She picks out the colours, dark green, blue, red, and follows the ivy trailing all over the wallpaper, all around Adam and Eve. They are both naked, except for a few leaves. Eve has a frightened look on her face. She has just spotted the serpent. "A serpent is a snake," her mother said. The apple tree behind Eve is old and bent, like the ones in the orchard. She feels something in the room. A whishing sound, and a little breeze rushes past her. She sits up, blinks. A blackbird has flown into the room. It flies around and around, and she smiles, amazed, and opens her arms for it to come to her. It perches on the top of the china cabinet and watches her with one eye. Then it takes off again and comes to rest on the wooden pelmet above the curtains. It starts to peck at a spot on the wall. She holds her breath. She listens to the tap-tap of its beak. Then a faint tearing sound and a little strip of wallpaper comes away, and the bird, with the little strip like a twig in its beak, rises and circles and flies out the window. She looks after it, astonished.